and our sermon title is Love Your Brother, which is also on the back of your bulletin. And those words, those three words, are the whole point of today's message. So, dads, moms, today at Sunday's dinner table, you should ask your kids, what was the point of today's message? And if there's no kids around your table, ask each other, okay? Say, what was the point of today's message? And kids, here's the answer. Ready? Love your brother. Say that with me. Love your brother. If you don't get anything else, get that, okay? Love your brother. Hopefully, you'll not only be able to say that, but three good reasons to love your brother, based upon 1 John 3:11 through 18. Three good reasons to love your brother. Now, when I say brother, love your brother, I mean your fellow Christian. John isn't talking only about our natural siblings. It isn't only addressing the men or the boys. It's talking about our Christian brothers and sisters. So, love your brother and sister in Christ. That's what we mean when we say, love your brother. It doesn't mean that we aren't supposed to love our siblings. We're supposed to do that too. But this is specifically talking about spiritual siblings. So we could say, love your spiritual siblings. Now that sounds really good, but it can be really hard to do, can't it? Because not all Christian brothers and sisters are very lovable. I know that I'm not always lovable, and I would guess that you are not always lovable. Our spiritual siblings are not always easy to love. I heard a poem this week. It goes something like this. Loving my brother... was there a second ago. Accessing. File not found. Okay. Okay. Loving my brother above, that will be glory. Loving my brother down here, another story. Our spiritual siblings are not always easy to love, but John says we must do it. Love your brother. We're picking right up where we left off last week. John has this habit of introducing new ideas at the tail of his last old ideas. The section that he's in, he kind of dumps us into the next section. For the last 2 weeks, we were talking about being the children of God, and in the King James says, sons of God, Pittsburgh folks. Amazingly, this is what we are, the children of God. Never stop marveling, we've said, that is what we are, the children of God. And in verse 10 of chapter 3, John said how we know that we are the children of God. Remember this from last week, verse 10? This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. Now, last week we talked about that first part, doing what is right. The children of God purify themselves. This week, John has dumped us into this next section with this last phrase, anyone is not a child of God who does not love his brother. So the children of God love their spiritual siblings. He says that's what they do. That's how you know if they're Christians or not. They love their spiritual siblings. Easy or hard, love your brother. Let's read this whole thing. 1 John 3:11-18. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that because we have spent time in 1 John 3, that we will much better love our brothers and sisters, our spiritual siblings in Christ. We will see why it's vitally important. We'll be motivated to do it. It's not always easy, Lord. You know that. We feel it. But we must, because that's what the children of God do. So please, Lord, birth in us that love for each other. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the hardest parts of writing a sermon on a passage like today's is that the point is so clear, just in reading the passage, I don't know how to get out of the way and let it sink in. All I have to do is read the passage and you get the point. At the dinner table today, kids, what was the point of the message? Love your brother. You got it. The children of God love their spiritual siblings. Okay, go home and do it. What else is there to say about it? Well, John says a lot more than just that. In fact, I think he gives us at least three good reasons to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. They aren't the only reasons out there, but they're good ones. They're ones we need to hear. And if we take these three reasons to heart, it will help us to love those we need to love, whether that's easy or hard. So let's go through them. Here's number one. Love your brother because love is essential to Christianity. Because love is essential to Christianity. Listen to verse 11 again. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Now, does that ring a bell? Does that little light bulb go on for anybody when you heard that phrase? That phrase, from the beginning, that's one of John's favorite phrases. From the beginning, from the beginning. He used it in verse 1, the first sentence of this letter. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. And what we said and what we've seen so far is that whenever John uses that phrase, he's saying that this is the fundamental stuff of Christianity. You got this at the beginning. This is where it starts. Our whole series is called Essential Christianity. The essence of what it means to what we need to be and to believe to be a real Christian. And John says that this was part of the gospel message that you heard right from the get-go. We should love one another. Love is essential to Christianity. In fact, we know who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil based on whether or not they love their brothers and sisters in Christ. That's how essential love is to Christianity. So in other words, this is basic stuff. I mean, this is Christianity 101. This is not a new message. It's not a strange new teaching that gets added on to the gospel. It's part of the gospel. Christians who have been loved by God through Christ, love each other. We should love one another. I've noticed that people over here always sit over here and people over here always sit over here. Do you guys like each other? Do you love one another? This is basic Christianity. And I think that Christians need to be reminded of this. Now, we all agree with it, right? I mean, who would disagree with love one another? I don't know. I don't like that one. Toss that one out on its ear. No. Do we practice it, though? Or do we excuse ourselves from it? Well, I hope I don't have to love that guy. Yeah, I'm a Christian, and yeah, he's a Christian, but it's not that big a deal if I am rude to him or unkind, call him names, get impatient, keep a record of wrongs, or anything else from 1 Corinthians 13 read backwards. No, this is essential. This is bedrock foundational. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Love your brother. Why? Number two, because your love or your hate will reveal your heart. Your love or your hate will reveal your heart. So love your brother. Verse 12. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Remember that story from the book of Genesis? First two brothers, right? First sibling rivalry. First murderer. Murder is the ultimate in hate, isn't it? But where does it start? He says it starts in the heart. The Lord Jesus taught us that, didn't he? That if you hate your brother in your heart, it's a murder. That's what John is saying. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Was it just a mistake? That day he accidentally murdered his brother? That's not how it works. It was because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. His heart was bad. It was full of sin and full of unbelief. And Abel's heart was good. It was full of faith and trust, and his offering was righteous. And that steamed Cain. He was jealous of Abel and his favor with the Lord, and he allowed that jealousy to eat him up so that he killed his brother. Nobody becomes a murderer out of neutrality. They have hate in their heart, and it comes out in murder. Verse 13, do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. Now that verse almost seems to come out of nowhere, doesn't it? We didn't expect that he was going to make that move. But I think he's tying it back to Cain and Abel. Abel was probably surprised that his brother lured him out of the field and struck him down. Abel's last words were, "What?" Right? That's what we can expect from the world, John says, while we're talking about it. We can expect hate. If we get anything else, it's the grace of God. So while we're on that, let me just say this. I believe we're heading into a season in American society when Christianity will be increasingly hated. And I don't think the church has gotten ready for that yet. The evangelical church has had an extremely long run of having a favored position in our society. And we've grown used to people liking us. Even unbelievers like us. They're the church. That's great. Woo! But that has not always been the case. And it will not always be the case. In fact, it's an anomaly in history. Because Jesus said to expect people to hate you. Okay, so church, you gotta know that's coming. You got to get ready for that mentally, emotionally. Jesus said, if the world hates you, keep in mind, it hated me first. Did the world hate Jesus? You bet. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. And John is just echoing that. John's Jesus' disciple. He was there and he heard those words and he says, do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. So church, we need to get ready for that. And what we need to do to get ready for it is not to whine and complain and demand our rights. What we need to do to get ready for it is to love our enemies. And even more than that, to get ready to love our spiritual siblings. Now, if it advances the gospel, we can certainly use our rights. The Apostle Paul did, as we saw last year in the book of Acts. But Christians need to prepare ourselves to be hated and not hate back. Because love is essential to Christianity, including loving our enemies. We're not even going there this morning. We're just going to love your brothers. But Jesus says we need to love our enemies too. And all the while we love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Why? Because like Cain, our love or our hate will reveal what's in here. Verse 14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. Question, do you want to know if you've passed from death to life? That'd be a good thing to know, wouldn't it? Do you want to know if you've passed from death to life? One way to know that is to ask if you believe in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, John 5:24, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He will not be condemned. He's crossed over from death to life. Do you believe in Jesus? That's one way to know if you've crossed over from death to life. John knows that, and he says, here's another way to know whether you've crossed over from death to life. Do you love your brothers and sisters in Christ? Because if you don't, you haven't. John says, don't tell me you believe in Jesus, but you don't love Jesus' people. Don't tell me you belong to Jesus, but you can't stand other Christians. Don't tell me that you have faith when you don't have love. That's what John is saying. I was at an ordination council yesterday for Mark Petras. Remember, our church planner from Altoona has now moved out to Ohio. He did a great job. He passed with flying colors. Thank you for those of you who are praying for him. We asked him about this yesterday, and he said, if you told me that you liked me but you hated my wife, I'd punch you in the face. Okay, well, we'll need to work on that punch in the face part. But you get the idea? Oh, I love Jesus, but I hate his bride. That's impossible. If I love the Lord, and I've been loved by the Lord, I will love the Lord's people. We know that we've passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. Now, again, don't take the wrong lesson home from this. We can get the wrong lesson from 1 John if we don't have our ears on. This does not mean that if you've murdered someone, you can't be forgiven and can't go to heaven. It's not saying that. The Apostle Paul thought of himself as a former murderer, but he was forgiven and set free and is with the Lord today. And it's not saying that if you hated someone recently, then it's the exact same thing as if you killed them. It's close. Because murder starts in the heart, and Jesus says they're intrinsically linked. The same murderous seed is in you if you hate your brother. But it's actually worse if you do actually kill him. The point is that real Christians really love other Christians. They don't hate them. And how we treat other Christians reveals what's truly in our hearts. If Jesus has truly saved us, then we will have love in our hearts for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And if we are fakes, then we will not. Which are you? Do you love other Christians or do you hate them? Now, yes, I know it's not always as black and white as that and the nitty-gritty of everyday life, but those are the two basic choices. Love and hate, life and death. And what we choose reveals our hearts. Kids, what's the point of today's message? Because number three, your Savior laid down His life for you. You knew we were getting there, didn't you? How opposite is this? Cain murdered his brother, but Jesus allowed himself to be murdered for his enemies. Verse 16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Let there be no mistake. We know what true love looks like. Jesus Christ laid down His own life for us when He went to the cross. That's love. That's the greatest love. It's love for your enemy, because that's what we were. And if Jesus can do that for us, then we ought to lay down our lives for our spiritual siblings, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, I don't think that most of the time that means we literally need to be crucified like Jesus was for our own spiritual siblings. But it does mean to be sacrificial, doesn't it? A love that doesn't cost us anything is not much of a love. Jesus' love cost Him everything. Love your brother sacrificially, John is saying. Verse 17, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? The English Standard Version says, if he closes his heart to him, how can he have the love of God in him? If you have a brother or sister in Christ that has a genuine need, that doesn't mean always that you give them something. But if that doesn't do anything inside of you when you see it, in fact, maybe you say, tough, tough. You close your heart to that fellow brother or sister in Christ. That forces a question. Do you have the love of God in you or not? Now again, just by feeling something for someone in need, that doesn't make you a Christian. Faith in Christ makes you a Christian. But that faith in Christ will change your heart so that you care. So that you really care. And we know we really care when we do something about it. Your Savior laid down His life for you, so you should love your brother in actions and in the truth. Look at verse 18. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Here's where the rubber meets the road. Not do you talk the talk, but do you walk the walk. See how John circles back around? Our love cannot be just theoretical. It must be actual. It must be in actions and in truth. Meaning, real. The real thing. Now the application of this message is going to look differently for different people. For Dan Curlin, it's going to look one way. For Charlie Weaver, it's going to look another. For Dawn Boyd, it's going to look another. For Cheryl McGonigal, it's going to look yet another. Because we all have different spiritual siblings crossing our paths. But the principle is the same no matter who we are. Love your brother. Because love is essential to Christianity. It's the message we heard from the beginning. Love your spiritual siblings. Jesus said, by this all men will know that you are my brothers if you have love for one another. Because your love or your hate will reveal your heart. Are you like Cain or are you like Christ? That's the question. Are you like Cain or are you like Christ? If you choose hate, you'll reveal yourself to be like the world. Like Cain and full of death. If you choose love, you'll reveal yourself to be like Christ. Love your brother. Because your Savior laid down His life for you, you ought to lay down your life for your brother. Love your brother in actions, not just words, and in truth. Kids, what was today's sermon about? Love your brother.